96.3 WHUR and HUR Voices, Sirius XM, Channel 141. This is the Insight segment. Your questions or comments, toll free at 855-288-4876. Now, Insight.
Welcome back to the Daily Drum on WHUR and Sirius XM, Channel 141. This is the Insight segment. I'm Harold Fisher. Locked Out, Education, Jobs, and Justice. That's the title of the new 2016 State of America, of Black America report by the National Urban League. We're going to talk about that report tonight and find out what has and what has not changed in 40 years. My guests are National President and CEO of the National Urban League, Mark Morial, Dr. Greg Carr, Chair of the Afro-American Studies Department here at Howard University, and Dr. Lorenzo Morris, a political science professor here at Howard University, and of course, you, our listeners. You, certainly part of Black America, as well as other parts of this great country. We want to hear from you tonight at 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Outside, of course, of the D.C. calling area, you call that same number, 202-319-7810. Certainly, you can also follow us on Twitter at Daily Drum WHUR, or my Facebook page at Facebook.com, Harold Fisher WHUR. Mr. Morial, Dr. Carr, Dr. Morris, thank you all for joining me. I appreciate it.
Thank you very much.
Okay. Mr. Morial, let me start with you. One of the things that really struck me about this report was the piece that talks about a 40-year retrospective. It appears that little has changed in 40 years. Is that accurate?
Well, I think it's important to look at it in context when it comes to economic disparities, jobs, housing, income, wealth. The gap, the disparity has not changed. Black households in 1976 earned about 59% of that of white households. By the time 2016 came, it was 60%. So the economics index has been the most stagnant, the most rigid, the most frigid, the most locked in. If you look at schooling, you look at education, the bachelor's degree, for example, now in 76, 6% of all blacks had a bachelor's degree. In 2016, it was 22%. 28% of all African Americans were high school graduates. That number is certainly higher in 2016 than it was in 1976. So we have got to look at this in context to say the pace of change has been slow. It's been glacial. But our focus in this report, if we really want to think about the 40 years, is to focus on the idea that the economic standing of African Americans relative to whites is about the same as it was 40 years ago.
Mm-hmm. Dr. Carr, let me start with you. Why do you suppose that is? Who is responsible for economic progress in Black America?
Well, I mean, you know, Black folks have never had any permanent allies. And as Brother Morial put, made his point at press conferences he's been having today and all the conversation, and we look at the executive summit report, you know, the fact that there is virtually no change from 1976 to now, and in so many of these categories, I think speaks to a structural crisis. I mean, when you have an economic recovery following a recession, and when you see, as the Urban League has reported out, that home ownership for Black people, because of that recession, we lost many of the gains we made, and now it's actually 6% higher in terms of the gap. You know, that's more than Black folks just working hard and saving and trying to get ahead. That's when you have to have the state intervene. You got to have federal programs. You got to have local programs. I think what the Urban League is proposing, Mark, which y'all are proposing in terms of this $1 trillion investment in urban communities is exactly the kind of shot in the arm, because when you look at who's to blame, you've got to look at the market forces, the forces of globalization. And, you know, a lot of these jobs have gone offshore in the last 40 years. I mean, addressing this structurally requires more than just Black folks trying to pull themselves up by their bootstraps. In other words, I think the Urban League has it dead on in that regard.
Dr. Morris, off air, you were talking about some changes in education, but there's a news report out today that says that a federal court has ordered a town in Mississippi to what? Desegregate desegregate Mississippi in 2016. I had to double check. I had to look again to make sure that said 2016 and not 1962 or 1952. What's going on here? Has education really improved?
I think our ability to deal with the crises and the barriers that we face in education has improved. The fact that we as African Americans and other minorities have gained in education means that we've come as close as we can to the individual effort. But as Dr. Carr pointed out, there is no individual change in a structural problem. There's no individual initiative, no bootstraps of a universal nature. And so what education does is it provides a parameter, a backdrop against which the changes in income and the changes in wealth should be measured. And that makes them worse in the sense that we are better prepared to take advantage, but we are less protected by a structure which allows us into the economic center of opportunities. And so I think a structural change as implied by the $1 trillion investment proposed by the Urban League is very important, and it's fairly modest in contrast to other expenditures.
Yeah.
We spent almost half that amount in 2008. Nine with the TARP program that is restoring Wall Street, $400 million. Just so it sounds like a big number, but in terms of infrastructure, in terms of employment, minimum wage, and investment in other opportunities that would correspond to educational advances as well as educational advances themselves, it's important.
202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. We are talking about the new 2016 State of Black America Report, of course, authored by the National Urban League. Want to go to the phone lines, want to hear what you think about this. Let's talk to Eric, calling from Randallstown. Quickly, Eric, what's on your mind?
Well, actually, I think we definitely regressed. We regress as a community culturally, economically, and socially, because we're basically dependent on everybody else to do for self instead of us doing for our own. It's a crying shame that 40 years has gone by. We haven't made any progress economically because we're waiting on somebody else to help us provide jobs for our kids. Our education system is antiquated. It's out of date. Is always going to be out of date. Corporations drive education. And if we don't own corporations, how are we going to dictate and regulate who we're going to hire?
Okay, Eric, thank you so much. I appreciate your comment. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Mr. Morial, what do you think about that? What part does personal responsibility play for this?
Yeah, that building institutions in our community, business institutions in our community, institutions that can employ in our community. That requires access to capital, and that's where the banking system comes in. So I've noted, and we note, that the entire system of lending to small businesses is broken. It's broken across the board. It's especially broken when it comes to Black and brown small businesses, businesses owned by women. So in our plan, we talk about the need for a new small business lending approach, a new small business lending strategy.
Explain that if you can.
Let me say this.
Go ahead.
What would that entail? So right now, for example, the Federal Reserve lends money to banks at almost less than 1% that they can in turn lend to others. Why can't that window be open in a fashion that makes low interest rate loans available to small businesses on modest and reasonable terms? We learned a lot in this country when the banks were, if you will, stabilized, propped up, or bailed out by the TARP. All of the measures that were taken, the extraordinary steps that were taken. If we took extraordinary steps to assist the financial services companies and the banks, we should be thinking about taking extraordinary steps to save Main Street America, to assist small businesses, to invest in infrastructure.
Okay.
So our ideas are also a work in formation. We've got a team of economists led by Dr. Bernard Anderson who are helping us add more flesh, add more meat, add more specifics to the ideas included in the Main Street Marshall Plan, because I know that when people see these numbers, there's going to be a sense of some frustration.
I would agree. I would absolutely agree. I want to put some more meat on this conversation as well. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. For our listeners tonight, what do you think? When you're looking at your Main Street, what will it take to make Black America better, whether it's the next 40 years, the next 4 years, in some small way, shape, or form, the next year? What do African Americans need to do to make this their immediate community, Black America, better? 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Real quick, Mr. Morial, because you were talking about lending and economics and the like, and unless I missed it, where is the discussion about black banks, or is that just, a pie in the sky kind of dream, and we should just not even think about that kind of thing anymore?
No, black banks are not a pie in the sky, and black banks and black community banks are indeed, I think, a measure of this and an important part of this. But look, black banks were also battered during the economic recession, and the banking industry has become consolidated. So smaller black community banks, there are several in the country, and we've been in discussion with the National Bankers Association and their leader, Michael Grant, about what we can do to assist those banks. But they play a role, but every community in America doesn't have an African-American bank.
Mm-hmm.
Many do, some do, but all do not. So it is a part of this, and we've really got to renew this effort to build our own economic infrastructure in communities across the nation. And it's essential. So at the Urban League today, we serve about 11,000 small businesses, mostly African American, predominantly women-owned businesses, who are provided free services through our 12 entrepreneurship centers around the country. So we're trying to do what we can do at our level. But this plan indicates that much more needs to be done. And I agree with my other two guests tonight, who indicated that $1 trillion may not be enough, but $1 trillion, I think, would be a significant step. And I've been asked today in mainstream media multiple times, how can we afford it? My answer is, we afford it to stabilize and bail out the banks. We afford the ability to rebuild Baghdad,
mm-hmm,
and Kandahar and Iraq and Afghanistan. We can afford the things that we think are important in this country, and I think fixing, rebuilding Main Street and urban communities is important. And
okay,
it's not can we afford it, it's that we must afford it.
Let me go back to the phone lines quickly before we lose you. I know you've got to go at 7:30.
Yes,
202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Trish from Baltimore, you've got about 30 seconds. Go right ahead, Trish.
Hi. I work in employment training for over 30 years in Baltimore, and what I have seen is that you can't be throwing training programs for money because they simply will not buy in. I think that our own banks, that would be a support, but a lot of times when you throw money at people, you will begin to have a dependent society. And we depend on these state programs, but it does nothing to help the basic structure of black people as a whole.
And Trish, thank you so
much. I've been in it for 30 years.
Well, Trish, thank you so much. That's just 10 years short of this 40-year report. So I find that interesting and certainly ironic. Thank you so much, Trish. For those of you who are interested in taking a look at the brand new 2016 State of Black America report, you can find it online at nul.iamempowered.com. That's N-U-L as in National Urban League .iamempowered.com. Real quick, before I let you go and take a break, I do have one quick question for you, Mr. Morial. Why locked out? Why that
locked
title?
Locked out because when 30% of black kids don't get a high school diploma, they are locked out.
Mm-hmm.
When in places like Chicago, 20% of
of black people in Cleveland, 20% of black people, do not have jobs. They are locked out. And we have to understand that they are locked out. And locked out aligns with the idea that these are structural, persistent, racial inequality in the economic system.
Well, Mark Morial, president of the National Urban League, I want to thank you so much. I need to take a break. We appreciate your time, sir. We're going to come back in just a few seconds on Sirius XM Channel 141, and we're going to talk more about locked out, jobs, employment, education, the whole bit with my panel. Again, Mr. Morial, thank you so very, very much. I appreciate your time. If you're on the line, please stay with us. The Daily Drum will continue on Sirius XM, Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. Wes Hall is next. He's sitting in for Jeff Brown with the original Quiet Storm on 96.3 WHUR. More of this conversation on Sirius XM, Channel 141 in just a few seconds. Stay with us.